Good morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. Almost 11 months after Sweden's Prime Minister Olof Palme was gunned down on a Stockholm street, police there have arrested three suspects, identified as members of a Kurdish separatist group that had declared war on the Palme government. George Wood has more from Stockholm.
The Swedish police say they're questioning three Kurds suspected of complicity in the murder of Prime Minister Olof Palme almost 1 year ago. A fourth person has admitted to the illegal procurement of a weapon. However, according to Chief Public Prosecutor Klaus Sima, there's not enough evidence to hold the four suspects overnight. The four were part of a group of 20 people rounded up by the police in early morning raids today. Three others have been detained in connection with the murder of a Kurd here 2 years ago. Several of those being held are suspected of being members of the Kurdish separatist organization PKK, which has been classified by the Swedish government as a terrorist organization. During the months since the Palme assassination, there have been many reports that the police suspicions have centered on PKK. Ironically, the Kurdish lawyer believed to be the leader of the organization here in Sweden was interviewed in a Stockholm newspaper this morning. He told the paper, "We have nothing to hide. Let them come and take us." He's now among those being held by the police. George Wood for CBS News, Stockholm.
Into Iraq, it killed a number of civilians. Later, Iraqi jets bombed Iran's historic city of Isfahan. The ground war appears quiet today. In Beirut, hostage negotiator Terry Waite reports progress after a second face-to-face meeting with terrorist kidnappers. Doug Tunnell has our report from Damascus.
Hostage negotiator Terry Waite has ended the public meetings with leaders in West Beirut and is now at the most difficult and dangerous part of his mission, a series of secret face-to-face talks with the kidnappers. There are good reasons for Waite to proceed with caution.
In the past, there have been people who've, first of all, wanted to kidnap me and have tried, that's for sure. And secondly, it's been discussed amongst people with whom I'm talking, currently talking, as to whether or not there was advantage in taking me.
Waite believes there is a link between the kidnapping of West German businessman Rudolf Cordes on Saturday and the arrest in West Germany of a Lebanese suspected of being one of the hijackers of TWA Flight 847. No group has claimed responsibility for the West German's abduction so far or issued any demands. After announcing plans to leave Lebanon today, Waite was called out of his hotel late last night for yet another secret rendezvous. Terry Waite now plans to stay in Beirut another day. Doug Tunnell, CBS News, Damascus.
In Dublin today, the cabinet of Prime Minister Garrett Fitzgerald collapsed in a budget dispute. General elections next month are now a virtual certainty. New Yorkers are being called on once again to sharpen their survival skills.
It's just quite a sight to see all that traffic coming inbound from Long Island. You almost forget without the trains, everyone has to drive, or many people have to drive, and they're sure out there this morning, just miles and miles and miles.
WCBS Radio traffic reporter Neil Bush telling motorists from Long Island what they already knew, that this first regular workday without commuter trains is a traffic nightmare. CBS News reporter Mike Pulsifer rode an alternate means of transportation to check the effects of what some fear will be a long rail strike.
It's a longer and more complicated commute today for the people who normally ride the trains of the Long Island Railroad. Instead of taking a train directly from Long Island into New York City, many of them are taking to their cars to get to Manhattan. Others are taking buses or driving to subway stations, then riding these noisy, mostly underground trains to their destinations. Some don't mind, others don't like it.
It's too early for me. Usually I get up around 6:30, now I'm getting up at 4 o'clock, and I'm going to take lunch today. I'm just going to try to get out of here early.
In an effort to lessen the impact of the walkout, officials have organized special bus service to transport people to and from subway stations. And they've created special park-and-ride lots, including one at Shea Stadium, home of the baseball world champion New York Mets. Still, commuting during the rail strike will, for many, be a nerve-wracking experience. And the longer it lasts, the more nerve-wracking it will become. Mike Pulsifer, CBS News, aboard the No. 7 subway line, New York.
New Yorkers are also coping with snow today, as are others in the Northeast and Midwest. In Oklahoma City, they're digging out of a blizzard that has stranded drivers at the truck stop where Mike Schimmer works as manager. We asked him how they feel.
Boring. It costs the truck drivers money, and there's not much for them to do. Just about all they can do is eat and sleep or watch TV.
That storm is blamed for at least 38 deaths nationwide. Under new rules drafted by the Reagan administration to implement the new immigration law, all employers would have to verify the citizenship status of new employees within 24 hours. It's been more than 2 months since President Reagan answered questions about his worst political crisis, and as Jacqueline Adams reports, he's even kept his own investigators waiting.
President Reagan still doesn't have a date to talk with his special commission exploring the post-Iran scandal role of the National Security Council. The Tower Commission today is expected to request a 2-week extension of its January 31st deadline. Even with the extra time, though, it's unclear how much the president will be willing to discuss. The White House plan is for Mr. Reagan to avoid talking about the Iran-Contra case until he's been fully briefed on all the facts his aides are still assembling. Zbigniew Brzezinski, Jimmy Carter's national security advisor, believes the problem is not with the NSC, but with those who ran the Iran operation.
They showed lack of judgment, inadequate intelligence preparation, and reliance on extraneous sources of information and inspiration, which is counterproductive to the American national interest.
In their draft Iran-Contra report, staffers on the Senate Intelligence Committee reached the same conclusion. NSC operatives conducting the Iran program ignored or did not solicit the advice of CIA experts on Iran. Jacqueline Adams, CBS News, The White House.
Republicans learned today where they'll most likely gather in August of 1988 to pick a successor to Ronald Reagan as the GOP standard bearer. Angela Jones reports from WWL New Orleans.
New Orleans is the leading contender for hosting both the Republican and Democratic National Conventions next year. For the Republicans, New Orleans is the favorite of the final three, leading Kansas City, which hosted the Republicans in 1980, and Atlanta. But the Quesnay City is also a leading choice with the Democratic Party's site selection team, which has been touring the Superdome, where the convention would be held, and hotels in the city for the past 3 days. Republican Party officials say their host city cannot host the Democrats as well, and that has city officials saying they'll take the first convention offered.
It's been our position all along, and we've dealt with both parties, I think, in an honest and open fashion, that the first one who would offer us a convention, we would take.
Terry Alicon, administrative assistant to Mayor Sidney Bartholomew. The GOP site selection committee will recommend a host city today to be voted on Friday by the full committee, and New Orleans is expected to be the pick. Angela Jones for CBS News, New Orleans.
On the New York Stock Exchange, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 13 and a third points at 2115.86. Big board volume in the first half hour of trading, a bullish 34 million shares. Time on the World News Roundup, 10 minutes past 7.